been spending a lot of time with the sheep. I think I have wool. Here we go. My cell rings. Sophia, not her real name, sounds flat, tired, defeated. She's in hospital. I know it's late. Please come. Of course. I'm so afraid. Afraid of what? The enemy. Afraid of myself. I cut my wrists again. Bring oil. I want you to pray and anoint me. I'm coming. Sophia wants to die, but she wants to live even more. Sophia loves God. Depression pulls her into a dark place over and over, drags her into the pit of despair, Death Valley, a place where disappointment, disillusionment, anxiety, fear seem to intensify. Her enemy is relentless. She cuts herself to relieve the pain. I head to the hospital, a temporary place of help. Provisions await: food, drink, safety, comfort, sanctuary, medicine for the body, for the mind, healing. Curiously, the word hospital and hospitality share the same root word. Bring oil. We're familiar with the use of oil in ritual, in healing rituals, and the healing of a wound. In the ancient Near East, oil, I discovered, was also used to welcome the guest to the host's home. This is more the use the psalmist is recollecting, though I think it's likely a combination. Can you picture it? God in an apron, in scrubs, present, hosting, welcoming you to a place of healing, to a place of safety, drizzling oil on your head as a way to refresh your spirit, to welcome and honor you. The songwriter recalls the hospital. I mean, at that too. The songwriter recalls the hospitality of God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. I walk down the long hallway. In the summer heat, the familiar hospital smell reminds me to breathe through my mouth. Reaching the door, I push the intercom. I identify myself. Hi, it's Karen, chaplain. Sophia asked me to come. I hear the click as the door unlocks. I enter the psychiatric unit. All is quiet. It's late. She lies on her bed, staring at the ceiling. She's pale and listless, her body like a rag doll. But she manages a greeting. Hey, thanks. I knew you'd come. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemy. In the presence of her enemy, I pour oil into the palm of my hand. I gently rub it into her wrinkled forehead, up and down, then sideways, back and forth. I make the sign of the cross. I carefully massage her hands, my fingers brushing up against her bandaged wrists. There are no words. Gently, I massage her feet. I feel her tension lessen. The stillness rests us. The fragrance of almonds soothes us. She stirs. Would you hold me? Can I put my head in your lap for a while? It takes all her strength and some of mine to get her sitting. I sit on the bed with my back against the wall. She curls up in the fetal position, head in my lap. I stroke her hair. The shadow of death is real, present. Resting there, her breathing slows and she sleeps. In the deepening silence, another presence is revealed. Yes, though I walk through the dark place, you are with me. Several minutes later, the nurse checks in. Sorry to disturb you, he apologizes. She's under close observation, he says. Suicide watch. Thanks for looking out for her. Sophia rouses, lifts her head, tries to focus on him. She knows why he's there. Your rod and staff keep me safe. Thanks. I feel a bit better. Not so afraid. Thanks be to God, to Yahweh. I will be with you. I will lead you. You restore my mind, my body, my soul. Like Sophia, I think we all want someone to hold us, reassure us, heal us, help us to grow out of and through our fears and hurts and disappointments. Depending on the crisis, the situation, what needs attending to, the restoration happens in appropriate ways. My friend needed medical care. Sometimes we need spiritual care. Sometimes when I'm feeling restless or empty, I discover the Spirit is leading me to a new spiritual practice. Or I may sense that I need to stay the course, even when I think nothing is happening. Sophia knew what she needed. The presence of God with skin on. And so the conversation with God and humanity continues as it has done for 3,000 years or more. Psalm 23, a response of trust, a response for everyday living, not just funerals. A psalm read and loved around the world. I imagine pages of scripture worn out like the Velveteen Rabbit. Little Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, memorized this psalm, embodied it, and declares, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. David has what most of us, if not all of us, want. Deep trust, absolute confidence in the presence of God, no matter what is happening in life. How does David get there? To this intimate, trusting relationship with God. How can he say without hesitation, without qualification, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need a thing? Wouldn't you love to be in that relationship, in that place right now? Some of you are. You get it. Taking the long view of his life, David learns that God's constant companionship is what matters. David has been called a man after God's own heart. And I wonder if being willing to be led on the paths of righteousness results in one becoming a person after God's own heart. Back to David's deep confidence. We all carry an image, a picture of God. Take a moment to finish this sentence. The Lord is my... God is my, Spirit is my. Anyone willing to finish the sentence out loud? God is my
strength.
Ah, God is my strength. Provider. Hope.
Salvation.
Anyone else?
Savior.
Mine is, Spirit is my midwife. One's image of God matters. It acts as a filter for our lives as well as a descriptor. When we think of shepherd, we think nurturer, protector, comforter, guide, relationship, home. Kind of like a parent. Anne and Jeremy have mentioned the First Testament scholar, First Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann's description of the Psalms. Orientation, disorientation, new orientation. Orientation, life is stable, good, there's harmony, the psalmist is happy, then something happens, crisis, conflict, lack of judgment, dangerous ravines, we lose our footing, don't see the cliff or that layoff coming, and there is disorientation. Smiles turn to tears of anger and confusion, frustration, resentment. What's happening? I'm lost. I'm hurt. But somehow the writer makes it through, survives the crisis, the situation, the chaos, the dangerous valley, and arrives at a new place of understanding, a new orientation. Sound like your life? Sounds like mine. Orientation, disorientation, new orientation. The rhythm of the psalm and of life. My sense is Psalm 23 is a new orientation psalm. Through experience and reflection, David understands. He really gets that God is there. And I think that even with this understanding, David still ran into trouble. I don't think he wrote this and never had another bad day, a bad relationship, or never made another bad decision. Orientation, disorientation, reorientation. Brian and I have ridden this wave, or this wave has ridden us, several times in our marriage. I invite you now to insert your life here. Learning to live together with the lovely children we created. In between, our family hotel venture took several hits. Fire, exorbitant interest rates. Then Kenya, a new culture, a new language, several rounds of critical health. And now, just when we moved through the year of the eye, Brian's detached retina, another wild beast pounces, metastatic melanoma. Disorientation. We lose our bearings. Cancer, stage 4. We don't know how to do this. The walls of this valley seem really high. The world swirls. Physical death stands shoulder to shoulder with us. Our journeys are different, though we walk together. Our numbed life is filled with doctor's appointments, tests, tears, prayers of the people of God, emails, Google research, offers of help, words of comfort, family and friends leaning in to carry us, anointing with oil. In the hospitality of this sanctuary, during the service of healing, and before every immunotherapy session at the Cross Cancer Institute, we try to remember the hospitality and presence of God. And once again, reorientation. We find our feet again. Like Sophia, we're not so afraid. Yes, fear or some of its siblings are still present. But the initial panic has lessened. Presently, my heart is not convulsing in my chest. And what is it that one exactly fears? Being alone? Pain? Death itself? What the future holds? That whatever crisis you're facing will never end? that we will lose it in front of others? Not be able to cope? After all, isn't your faith enough? Maybe not. But David vows God's presence is. When we look around the world, we see that we're not always protected. Bleep happens. Yet slowly, through the voice of community, remembered scripture, the heart and the psyche snuggle, burrow into, I am with you. And a new understanding of the presence unfolds. David's song is one of new orientation remembered. It involves divine guidance, danger, a cup, blessing. He remembers what he has learned no matter what happens. God is there, for thou art with me. Most of us have this verse so regularly in mind that we may not have taken it into our heart where it belongs. You are with me is a very personal line with a personal presence. Using personal pronouns like you are with me is unusual for the songwriters of the Hebrew scriptures. The essence of Israel's relationship and religion is relationship, but they talk about us and we, the covenant community. David uses you, me, I, thou, intimate language. The song begins and ends with David's constant companion, Yahweh. Like bookends, David places Yahweh at the beginning and the end, and David's life is lived in between. David doesn't say this, but I wondered if he discovered how to see God's hand in everyday, ordinary life. I often want God to do something dramatic, spectacular, to be assured that it is God, not my hoping it was, or my skepticism saying, nah, or my overthinking, wondering, was that a sacred touch? When the world opens up to swallow us, David's word to us is God is there, even if it doesn't feel like it. When life is going well, filled with joy, God is there. My friend Sophia continues to live in faith, to struggle in faith, and dares to live out of her reorientation, her new understanding, that she is loved, and her life, all of it, matters. And now she carries Brian and me in prayer. Like David and Sophia, with each crisis, disorientation brings us the opportunity, the challenge to know ourselves, to know the holy, and what it means to be a human in relationship with the divine. For Brian and me, our new understanding, where we feel the sacred touches of God is certainly the support, love, and care of our family and the community of God all around the world. Traveling mercies, as you ride the rhythms of orientation, disorientation, new orientation.